There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The second reading for today is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 7, and can be found beginning on page 1174 of your Pew Bible. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
There is only one God. Amen. You want more? A little bit more? You got dressed up, I mean, right? You know, took time out this morning to be... I mean, that's it. That's the sermon, really. The sermon's over. I mean, that's the summary. There is only one God. And I mean, it's pretty clear, isn't it? What else can we add to it? We can add Luther's explanation. So let's go ahead and look at that briefly. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear and love God above all things. There you have it. We're good, right? Sports is not going to interfere with our worship of God. Money, fame, popularity, they're not going to interfere with our relationship with God. Power, a fatal attraction or infatuation to someone else, is not going to interfere with our relationship with God, because God is going to be number one. You know, Moses and the Israelites, they lived in a polytheistic world. There were lots of gods that all the folks had, and they believed in many gods. Not as many as we get to when we get into modern day India, where there are 330 million gods to catalog, but there were a lot of gods. But we realize that there were not 1,000 gods, there were not 100 gods, there are not even 2 or 3 gods, there is one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. There's no one else to put over him. There is only one true God. Now, Muslims believe in one God also, but his name is Allah. And while Allah could be used as a simple translation for the name God, the Allah that they believe in is not the same God. It's just not. Their God has requested things, required things, and done things that, trust me, you would not want him for a God. So I guess to the Muslims on this day we could say, you know what, there's only one God and his name is Allah. April Fools! No. We need to help them. We need to help them desperately. We need to help people that are of the Jewish faith that believe there is only one God, but they don't understand that one God is triune. We need to help people that don't believe that there is any God. We need to help people that believe that there is some power out there, but they don't know what that power is or have a name for it, to understand the name is God, and to lead them to Christ. I mean, you're God, but this is where this commandment hits us first. Your God is really what you love, what you seek, what you worship and serve, and what you allow to control you. And so maybe the God is not truly the number one God in your life, depending on how you live your life. God is saying in this commandment, get rid of all the other gods, anything that competes with me in your heart. It's kind of like a spouse saying to another spouse, you know, I love you, but you know what? I'm going to have a number of other people that I'm going to love too. So what we do with the spouse, we commit ourselves to that spouse. We say, we're the only ones who we want to have you love, and we're the ones that we want to have, or we want to love you above all others. That's the way that's designed to be. You're the only one, and that's what the spouse expects when we say those vows, that they will be the only one in your life there. I like the old phrase. It just fits really well with this sermon, and I thought about just titling it that, "Who's Your Daddy?" You know? Because that's just a common phrase, but it really works here. I mean, everybody has a God. Something occupies the place of God in your life. The question is it the God? When we do a project, we have to follow instructions. And that may be something we have to do at work, or we write instructions for others to follow. And if they don't follow them precisely, things can go wrong. When you're putting together something, even from IKEA, as clear as those instructions are in French, if you don't follow them fully, you risk a hazard. Something might not work. We've got an instruction book too, an instruction manual. It's called God's Holy Word, the Bible, the Scriptures, and it gives us the instructions for how to live fully in this life and to live it to the fullest. And if we don't follow the instructions, then we're bound to run aground. We're bound to have problems with our life. We need to stick with what God has given us. We need to hold to God's word. There was a husband and wife that were talking about taking a trip to the Holy Land. And the husband said, "Wouldn't it be neat to go out there and to stand at the foot of the mountain where they received the Ten Commandments and to just stand there and read the Ten Commandments aloud?" And the wife said, "Wouldn't it be better if we just stayed home and followed them?" What are we about? We talk about it. We talk a good talk sometimes, but do we really live up to it? James Madison, fourth president of the United States, history lesson over. Also called the father of the American Constitution, said this: "We have staked our whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of our politics upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." It's not about the government. Tell that to all the elected officials, I know. But it's not about the government. It's not about them. And as he even said, far from it. It's not about their power. It's about our understanding and following God. There was a Gallup poll many years ago that said that 85% of Americans believed in the Ten Commandments. That's huge, considering that so few of those 85% go to church. But 85% of them believe in the Ten Commandments. Now, in the same poll, when asked, less than 15% could name even five of them. So much for, bless you. No. So much for folks believing in the Ten Commandments. I mean, you can believe in anything you want to believe in if you don't have to understand it, I guess, or know it, or trust it, or follow it. Sure, I believe in God. And the Lutheran question would be to follow up saying, what does that mean? And I'm guessing for a lot of folks that would be really hard to answer, because God is not God. God is the God that they make in their personal image to be the God that they desire him to be. This commandment is not really just about not worshiping false gods, idols, but it's also about worshiping the God the correct way. See, people are not born atheists. No one is predetermined and predestined to be an atheist. We're born with the law of God written in our hearts and in our minds. We are predisposed to belief in God, to following God, and to recognize there is something we need. And it's how people are raised, what their experiences are, what they're taught, that the atheist comes in after people have committed moral suicide. We're called to worship God. If we don't believe in God, we're not going to worship God. And if even if we do worship God, if we don't worship Him rightly, the right way, then we're really not fully worshiping God. And what does the right way mean? And not talking styles of liturgy here. It could be a full-blown contemporary service. It could be a traditional old-school by the page 5 and 15 beseeches and these and thou sermon in service. Both are serving God, but when it's not about Jesus Christ, or it's not about Jesus and understanding that He is the sole sacrifice necessary for the forgiveness of all your sins, if it's not about helping us to understand that though we are called to do works, they do not save us, if it's not about pointing out that Jesus is the only way to heaven, then the worship is not true. The worship is not right. The word idol or idolatry actually appears in the scriptures some 220 times from what I was able to find. That makes it the sin that is talked about more often than any other sin in Scripture. No wonder God put it as the number one. If we don't get this right, we're not going to get anything else right. And if we don't get the others right, then we certainly haven't gotten this one right. That's why, as we have taught in the church throughout generations, if you break any of the last 9 commandments, you have also broken the first commandment. Because if you have chosen to do things your way, apart from God's words, then you've made yourself to be God. If you've chosen to follow something else, do something else, allow for any of these things to be good or right or acceptable even in your life, then you've broken the first commandment and set up your ideas, your values, your moral judgments as higher than God's and more important than God's. God's word has to come first. That instruction manual has to be there for us. God's instruction manual for us before we leave this life needs to be a part of our lives. There was an island I heard about, Izu, in Japan, that years ago they put up 100 wooden decoys to attract these rare, and I'm not sure what the plural is, of albatrosses to the island because they were nearing extinction. And it worked. It was great. But there was this one particular albatross. Had his name here. Deco. For more than 2 years, this 5-year-old albatross named Deco guarded, protected, and would build a nest around this one particular decoy. When anyone else would come near it, he would chase off the other albatrosses. This decoy was his. He had developed a relationship with a wooden albatross and would not leave its side. When talking with one of the main researchers about it, they just said that they can't break this infatuation he has for this albatross. He seems to have a desire not to date real birds. That's kind of like what happens to people. We end up following a decoy, something that's like God, near God, but not quite God, and holding to that instead of holding on to God. And while he may have fallen in love with a wooden decoy, what decoys, what idols have we fallen in love with that we placed above the true God? I heard the story once about a man who was in a discussion with his wife, and she said to him, "Honey, you are a model husband. I want you to know that." And he felt really good about himself going away until he had gone back and actually looked up what the term model meant, and it said a small imitation of a real thing. You know, yeah, sorry guys. Do we settle for an imitation of the real thing? Do we follow after that which is a decoy? Do we follow after Satan's desires to lead us astray and pull us away from what we should be doing? I used to say that here in Texas, and it's still semi-true, probably more than semi-true, that football is a deity. In Texas, high school and college football is raised to the elevation of almost being a god. It takes precedent over God at times when people are there for the games more frequently than they're in worship. It works that way in a lot of other things. Are we a Rotarian, a lion, a Kiwanis, a red hat lady? Are we a part of an organization that expects regular attendance and we are going to keep it up? But then how's our faithful and regular attendance in worship? What have we made to be our other gods? Jewelers. Any jewelers here? No jewelers today. I was looking for a deal on a ring. No. Just to back me up on this, but jewelers have several different ways, not just one test, not just two tests, not just three tests, several different tests that they perform on jewelry, particularly on diamonds, to verify that a diamond is real and not a fake. They have several tests that they perform to show that a diamond is real, that it has the value that it has been ascribed. And this can be anything from the outside to what they can see inside the diamond, to the shape, to the way it's been cut. These things all are significant in determining if a diamond is real. The Lord gives us tests in this life too. Tests to help us understand and to test the spirits. Are we following the real God or are we following after other things? Are these other things going to give you the forgiveness of sins? Is there any other thing other than God that you can follow, that you can be a part of, that you can do, that will get you the forgiveness of sins? Is there anything else that can give you the promise of salvation, of life in heaven? Is there anything in all of this world, anything you've created, anything that you've followed, anything that you've participated in, that can guarantee you a place in heaven? Is there anything, anyone, any activity, any group, anything we can be a part of, or be involved with, or be devoted to, or give our time and our talents and our treasures to, that are higher than God? There are tests that we apply to our lives. If we truly want to follow God, if we truly want to make God the God above all gods, the King above all kings, the only true God in our life, will we follow this true God as He has called us? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods. And that includes all of the idols, all of the graven images, all of the symbols, all of the activities, all of our own ideas, perspectives, and ideals and morals that don't come from Him. God's word comes first. And God comes first. He placed you first in His life with sacrificing Jesus for us. He placed you above His own Son's life. He said, "You're that important." Are we committed on this day of resurrection to say once again, "Yes, God, you first, you alone. You shall have no other gods." Because, and this is so simple, there is only one God. So I'll say it one more time. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, your Savior, your Lord, and the only true and your God. Amen.